evening. Thank you all for coming out this evening. I'm going to recall the March 2011 meeting of the Vermont Writers Advisory Council. I'm going to start with two announcements. One is that we have Fox 5 here. They're here to cover the meeting. And so that's who the camera is. And second, just a reminder about the microphones, these new microphones we've had over the past several months. You have to press the button to speak. And when you're done speaking, it's good to press the button to turn it off. Not just so that we don't overhear your side conversation, but I think that that also creates feedback. So, the first order of business is the public comment hearing, and I think we have a couple of questions.
Yep, Bill Orleans being the first one.
Public comment hearing. I won't be able to say anything. I do not know if the Writers Advisory Council. What?
Close to the
microphone. That's why I always speak to myself when I see board members leaning.
And press the button.
I do not know if the council finds it's going to be discussing the preliminary response from the board. The council's suggestion that there should be further public comment, public involvement. The decision to move ahead with that strike and continuing that prior civil liberties security theater as soon as they're effective. I assume members of the council have been informed of what the board's preliminary reaction to it was. I hope we will be discussing that, but I want you to hear it. There have been two meetings of Board of Governance Committee. And I don't know if council is getting minutes or those meetings. I assume it is. The minutes won't reflect two statements that I've taken for those meetings. Many members of the board, especially the newer members, are speaking to how transparent they want Metro to be in the future. I do not believe they mean it, but that's just my own interpretation. In particular, one of the members has chosen to suggest that, from his perspective, the mission of the board of directors is to preserve first the authority, by which I presume one can interpret him to mean the authority, which is the legal entity, which is the authority. But I interpret it differently. I think he wants to preserve authority, emphasis on authority of the board, in contradiction to the suggestion that the board should be more transparent in the future. During last Thursday's meeting, I was taken aside by one of the members of the jurisdictional coordinating committee, and it suggested to me, as a result of a request from a member of the news media, that he be allowed to attend the JCC. The committee thought that would be inadvisable for its purpose. Therefore, such members of the public, there being only one, who has been attending the JCC meeting for more than the last 2 years, should not come to the meeting that was scheduled the following day, Friday. I'll be finishing up in 10 seconds. I came, however, anyway, was denied admittance, and with some assistance on my part, subsequently was arrested. I was arrested, I thought, to make a point, I thought in such criminal action that would proceed, I would be able to make the case that it is a public meeting, or if it's not a public meeting, at least this member of the public has participated the last 2 years and more, and without ever disrupting such meeting, and in fact, including in minutes as a public member. I mentioned this tonight only to make a point that despite the board's best intention to be transparent, someone in the authority, and I don't know who it is, someone is making a determination that, in fact, in reality, it should be less transparent. And I at least take this as true. I wish you all a good meeting. I've got the respect to bring up, but it's a second grand position for an asset. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And then we have Linda Lee.
Thank you. that took place there in December. I have some concerns about, well, at the time, things weren't moving smoothly. It's been 3 months now, and there's still a lot of things, like the signs for scheduling not being up. I've kind of gone to the 16F and why. And my suggestion is that when we know service changes are going to take place, that we get some kind of a checklist or something for WMATA to go to the bus people to go through and check out to see, make sure that all the things are done that need to be done so that we can travel through the system the way we're supposed to. Some of the suggestions are to make sure that the riders know about the service changes ahead of time, and public meetings would be nice. To train the personnel, the bus drivers, supervisors about the route ahead of time instead of Monday morning for rush hour. Make sure the route postings on the signs and at the terminal points of the bus maps and all this stuff is the way it should be. Because I've ran into some situations in the last few weeks. I'm still learning my way around D.C. and it got a little frustrating. I've got this written up. John has a copy of it and I'm sure he'll get it to you guys.
Thanks, Linda. Okay, we'll move on to approval of the agenda. I just want to draw your attention to the fact that the agenda that was sent out has a few changes. They are italicized on the printed copy in front of it, mostly just enumerating things or things that we forgot to put on. So if there's no objection, we'll consider the agenda approved. Okay. And now we have another special guest with us in the room tonight. Last month we were pleased to have Mrs. Sauls, the new CEO General Manager. And tonight we have with us Mrs. Catherine Hutchins, the new Chair of the Board of Directors of Metro. Mrs. Hutchins has served on the board since 2004. And she has been a member of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors since 1999. She's been very active and involved board member, and has been active also with the Council of Governments Access to Law Committee. So she's recently been elected as the board chair. We'd like to have her with us. We'll have a few remarks from her and then go around the room in our usual fashion with each member asking a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DiMonaco. Thank you very much. And thank you to the Writers Advisory Council for having me here today. I was here a couple months ago, I appreciate the opportunity to come. And coming as chair, I just wanted to share some comments, but most importantly, to listen to you. We have been moving, I think, rather swiftly on the board, having restructured the four brand new members on the Metro board. A lot of change has taken place in Metro. And that change, I hope, will help us continue on what I see as a major responsibility, and that is that we really are a guiding board of policy. And that policy has to do with ensuring that we have a safe system, that we have a reliable system, that we are accountable to our customers and our stakeholders, and that we're transparent. I know those are words often, but I think our work that we will do over the next year will help move us closer to making that more apparent. Metro is a very old system, and I shared with my board colleagues that I started public transportation system when I was very young. I lived in a small town, and public transportation was how not only my parents got around, but if you were a young person, you wanted to go across town, you had to sit on a bus. Unfortunately, you had to go to the back of the bus, too. But I spent my 4 years transitioning from my home to my college campus, and that's when I got my transportation. I landed here in DC after graduating, and my first public sector job was with the DC Public Schools in Gaspa. I used public transportation to get there. So I'm very comfortable, and I come out of an environment, a community. I live in the community of Western Virginia, and it's a planned community, and our citizens started its own buses during 1968, because we were going to be a quality community that connected people, and they have shown the quality of life that they have. So I come to the region with a real commitment of public transportation being a very critical element of keeping us economically sound, keeping quality communities all around, and connecting people for work, for joy, for whatever matter you mean, that public transportation is a very critical element of our community. So from the standpoint of the role of the board, I hope that we will stay focused on the mission of providing public transportation in a manner that maintains a high quality of service. That's very hard to see for us sometimes, but shared with my colleagues, I travel into the region and around the region without the metro system in my back door. I use my local service into the metro system, and I'm working exactly because I found myself working for the metro in Holland the other day. Months ago, I said, I haven't been to the NBCC news site, and I had to get myself reoriented, which is where that was. But late at night or any time of day, it's easier for me to use. It's 1 mile, a bus is 1 mile from the catchway, and two bus stops within walking distance from my door. But I don't have the handbrakes that I use all the years, so I'm transferring into the system. I say that because it's very important that we all understand what it is that we're accountable for, and some of that means also understanding the system as the ridership. I want to bring your attention to what I think will help us, and that is the role of the government. There's been a lot of folks looking at us for the past and I think while we may not all be on the same pages with recommendations, I think the recommendations can add value that we will make sure that we work at them. Now, our first system, the ease of this direction, because it requires a lot more attention than it did when the system was started. And so what I think the board has submitted with its members now as we go forward this year is trying to make sure that we can stay effective and that we are not focused on the responsibilities that we have. We've hired a new CEO and we're hiring Mr. Falls as the current CEO general manager. We ascribe to the philosophy that he is in charge. It is his role to operate the authority. It's ours to see and make him accountable to that. We will start by working through the general manager, his performance measurements, and aligning those with the boards, and making sure that we can share with our public the progress he's making and we're making together. It's going to be require a partnership. I think there's some other things that we're going to we'll see as we go through this government's process and relooking at lots of things, is that our members have been quite open about wanting to do more things than it's driving. We approved that board last month, the new AAC structure that allows that advisory group to be accountable to the board rather than to the general manager. And that gives us a better focus on looking at the issues of accessibility in a more direct way as a board. But more importantly, I think we have to do that in a broader sense of how we communicate. And I often say is that what you say often is interpreted as what you do. So your message needs to always be clear, and you need to always communicate often and fairly with people. So I think communication is also going to be a very big part of that. We really do need to help our public understand what the product is. I often say that 99, maybe I'm wrong, between 90 and 99% of Vermont really does work well in carrying 1.3 million people on a regular basis. but it is an old system. I said to my colleagues, it's not the Cheyenne Dominion system that I saw when I first started using it, or maybe a new model, so I use it. But we have to keep it safe and reliable as possible, given its state. And lastly, and most important, we have to get to the point where we can fund a system that meets the kind of demand and need that we have for this region. But if we're accountable, if we're transparent, I think we can continue to make that case and have people understand how important it is to do that. So I'm going to stop. There are a lot of things that we've been doing, but I think that'll be your question, I'll share any additional comments. And I'll stop and allow you to ask questions. But I appreciate being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Hutchins. We'll go around the room in our usual fashion, asking a brief question, and if you don't have one, you can just guess. So, Anna?
Thank you for being here. My question, which you started to allude to, pertains to funding. I know Iraq is going to be concentrating on the operating budget, as obviously the board is as well. But another concern, obviously, is capital funding. We have at the federal level right now, as well as perhaps at the state of Oklahoma, Virginia as well. And even if we get that funding, we still don't have the opportunity for expansion of our LSP, despite all the routing that we have. And I just wonder if you could share your thoughts on that and the guidance you have for that.
Well, I would start by saying, please use your voices, because that really is, it's very critical at this time. And I'll start with the capital funding. As you know, right now, we are not certain what might happen with the $150 million that comes to us over the next, I think, 9 years now for the capital from the federal side. And really, in most of our, all of our jurisdictions, that money is predicated on bringing the remaining ones that they did. So we're talking about a $300 million deficit in our capital budget in loan federal food. And so, as we all sit here today and talk about how difficult the problem is, then we realize that losing that only makes the problem greater. I will tell you what your board has done. I'll tell you what the jurisdictions have been doing, and that is we have been reaching out to our congressional members to say how important this system is to our region. And if you think the system is important, you really do have to fund it. And I will also make one last point here. This funding is for the period of 10 years. And it does not meet the entire capital needs. And when I say the entire capital needs, we're talking about all of the interruptions we see every day that must be done to rebuild the system. So if we cannot gain that support, we really simply are either putting ourselves further behind and really risking the safety that we so critically need here. So. And I think you said expansion, what you say? And that's a hard one, because I sit in the heart of a region where we anticipate nearly a 25% increase in metro service at the end of 2016-2017. And that program is in phase one, funded at less than 40%. And if you remember, the 106 mile was funded, 40% from federal dollars. And the 106 miles was funded at 80%. The second half of it has zero federal dollars. So it's a change in environment, and extensions and expansions will be very difficult, because at the federal level, we can find better ways, as we thought the new organization was going to provide us with new starts. But we're in a different mindset right now, and so I think those are really critical markets.
Thank you, sir. The AAC wants to thank you very much for allowing us to be able to report the board. This is the first chance I've had to thank you for that. We appreciate that quite a bit. So thanks for my commitment to you and the rest of the board. I also want to throw in there, and I think the RAC is pretty familiar with this, that, and I just want to say this to you, that as far as accessibility issues go, they're discussed here between AAC and RAC, which is my position here. And we have received a lot of cooperation from RAC. So when we speak on accessibility issues over the last 6 years that I've been on the RAC, it's always been with my voice. So being able to communicate with the RAC to the board from and with AAC, I think you'll hear one position, one voice. And I think that will work very, very well. And that's the past, and I fully expect it to continue in the future. And the only other thing that I would add then is that, and I think this is one of the new focuses that we need to look at as far as at least AAC is concerned, is when you hear disability issues come up, and we've said this also to the GM, I think the first question that I'd like board members to ask is, have you passed it through the AAC? And if we can have that, then I think we'll have good communication, good coordination, good information that, of course, is shared with the RAC and passed back to the board.
I want to thank you for that comment. First of all, thank you for the work that you've done on the committee. I would simply add it should be that's though regarding accessibility, which is about all issues. And we, I think we'll be talking through a process that I work to the advisory truly in that sense, so that maybe not on every issue that we deal with, but on critical issues that affect our customers directly, that we want to have their input. I share with my colleagues when I came to when we created the RISE Advisory Council. I said, I come from an environment in Fairfax County where we have 80 plus advisories, and you're almost expected to hear what does the citizen experts say about that support that we have. And I hope that's the opportunity to continue to work with you.
Thank you. Following up on some items came up regarding the federal budget, progress that's been happening in the last few weeks and more short term stuff. I want to ask if the board has reached out to not just the congressional delegation, but maybe, for instance, I know the governor, he has expressed interest in seeing the funding restored, but he hasn't done that very well in the area. I don't believe he's seen any official correspondence to some members. I'm wondering if the board is they plan on reaching out to members same side of the aisle or some kind of issue.
Were you asking if our board has? We have, and the GM has worked with the delegations, other members of that. Members of the delegation, and Governor McDonald did send his correspondence and openly say how important it was. So I can't speak for Governor O'Malley or the others, but I think you're all in touch with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the topics that we discuss a lot here is this budget. Obviously, the budget drives everything. We've always had a lot of discussion of service cuts versus merit increases. This was actually the same question I asked the new general manager last week, and it's one I'm very interested in. And actually, I'll tip my hand a little bit as to where I come out here. I was a little concerned recently reading in the paper that what seems to be on the board is service cuts, mainly cutting back the weekend service. I know that every time I've taken the subway late at night on the weekend, it is packed and it keeps a lot of people off the road the journey. So I was a little upset or disturbed to see that seems to be what we're talking about is service cuts rather than fare increases. And I know these aren't absolutely exclusive, but you can do a little bit of both. But between those two, what do you favor? Do you favor fare increases or service costs?
I wouldn't like to say none, but it doesn't work for us anymore. It surely doesn't work anymore. Let me just tell you that the general managers, our CEOs, proposed budget, I think at least attempts to give us as much latitude as possible. And so he has put some service costs on. Okay? As you mentioned, with the late night, I think it always discovers, as long as I've been on board, it's always stop before. But I think one thing that we will have is the board opportunity to discuss what he foresees in that, as well as any of the others. What is difficult right now is we're in the third year of reductions, of cuts, trying to find a budget. That budget includes a increased subsidy possibility. So that's something that we have to look at too. And it means that we must go back to our jurisdiction and find those dollars. When the general manager presented his budget, he presented it with no fair increases. I think that was a message to us as well. So I conclude by saying, I decided I can't take a position right now because we're in discussion. And I think the work meetings that we will go through hopefully will guide us to make the very best decisions. But more importantly, we'll also have meetings such that the customers can come forward to give us their opinion as to how they see those budget impacts. But it is a very difficult time for us, and so we have some room, and we're trying to work as judiciously as possible.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for your candor, especially the comment you just made about the budget with you on the point of these solutions. Mr. Shaw has also been very candid. And I would like to support that, and specifically in the capital program. As you face difficult choices, even if that $159 is saved and matched, why don't we encourage more transparency? The last long-term capital improvement plan that Metro put out had an unrealistic assumption on the growth of federal transit subsidies that hasn't materialized, which is one reason we need to hold. And I know that the marketing people will not like this, but I think we're beyond a point that we can gloss things over, and that is at certain levels of capital, you have to be honest with the writers on what you can provide and what you can't provide. What would happen if it was impeded? It would decline, let's be honest. What would happen to cleanliness? You know, it would decline. What would happen if rail cars gauge and are not replaced? They would fail in service, which would affect on-time performance. And I really think that those options need to be out there, and there needs to be public comment on the capital budget as to what people want in terms of trade-offs. Like for example, you have no money to expand the buses or add buses to the bus system, and one of the options is to simply let the fleet age a little bit, not retire buses as you bring new buses in. But that would have ramifications, and I would just encourage the board to be as transparent as possible and as honest with drivers as possible, because we're beyond the point where you can say, well, we won't get the capital, but we'll make do. Well, making do means X, Y, and Z. I think people would find it catching versus, you know, we'll make do without talking about the consequences of having insufficient capital to continue.
I appreciate your candor too, because that really is the only way to do it. And I think it's the only way to do it if you want to have your support. That is, it makes no sense to give you a very Pollyannish approach and then we don't succeed. I think one thing that the CEO talked about and what the board members are saying every day is that we want to see accountability measures. One of the things in the capital program that's so important, the general manager says, we've got to have the 85% spend in our capital program. Well, you can't gloss over if you're going to deliver spending the dollars that we commit. So if we can't contribute to the full amount, we need to say we can't contribute it. But we also have to say that if we contribute it, we need to use it. We need to be able to deliver it, and that the customer needs to see the impact of that. And I think we want to hear from you, because I think that we may have a better opportunity to have our message understood when people really can see how difficult our choices are, and they can be partly and buy into what those choices are. So I think we'll try and do our best with it, but it is a critical part for us that we have to be honest about it and just say that, as I say, 300 million every year does not mean capital meaning at the end of 10 years. So we need the public to understand that and have them mind what we need to do that.
Thank you again for your comments tonight. But one suggestion, question I have is just how much has the board reached out to transit systems all throughout the country to actually highlight the need? I mean, it's not just here, but in all other areas where funding is not going to be able to keep the level of infrastructure, even at its current level, especially given how a lot of the members of the new majority in the House of Representatives do not represent districts with subways or extensive amounts of mass transit. But it seems like part of the solution is going to have to become, the metro is part of a larger nationwide effort to invest in our infrastructure.
I know the ACTA is the American Public Transit Association is actively engaged in it, but I'm also a member of MACO, the National Association of Counties. And even though they are not, they work well with the cities, the major cities. And we are all together on that voice, that we're saying that, you know, this is a basic infrastructure that keeps cities and communities are going, and therefore public transportation funding is critical. And we in this region are trying to convey the message that we say over and over that the federal government is the leading dependent employer on transit in this region. So they really need to understand we may not be shutting systems down, but they could shut them down by not funding. So that's what's really very important.
Good evening, and thanks for coming to the city meetings through the council. Because everybody has been talking about budget, I can speak in change the subject, and field of communications. I think that one of the major problems communications-wise is the fact that we rely too much on the putting things on the web and forgetting about, or not necessarily forgetting, but not doing such a doing a good job about other media, other ways to communicate with the writing public. I think that we should improve that 100%. The website is okay, but that's not the sole goal. And I find that a lot of people don't find out about a lot of issues or problems as far as, you know, the buses are late or because of there was this or that, or the trains are late or because there was this rail problem, because there was some problem with whatever switches or rails or whatever tracks. That has to be improved because the internet is not the only way that we have it available.
You raise an interesting point because one of the board members, seeing it over here, noting that he remembered the day when you would walk into this building and the station, so we got a big sign telling you what was going on. And I come from Fairfax and I have a sign right off of Broadway that says, thank you taxpayers, because guess what, all of this disruption is due to whatever. And I think that our communication group is working really hard trying to figure out, because there's a lot out there now. Social media gives you so many choices and how best to do the communication. The board is scheduled to have this discussion, because I think we also have to say how do we communicate and who communicates and what the message is. And so I think we'd like to ask your input, because I think you're out there, you're receiving the information on your want to, and how best can we continue to keep up the relationship of sharing. It's really hard to measure, I think, because we have lots of information to share. I keep all of the alerts, and I'm just full of messages. If I want them all, I can just read something about construction every month, because they try and tell us everything. And the actual question is, what do they need to tell us, and maybe they need to tell us how? So I invite your input from this committee to help us be focused on that part. It's really hard. Metro is it's very hard to control the message that you want to tell. And that's what.
And I'm supervisor, I said, just to come in, and I finally, one of the residents of your county. I was confused about communication excessively. Every time I feel PA system comes up, I don't understand. I wonder how the other people think about, can I forget what you're saying, PA system? Is there a way to, like, let the public writers within about, know what's going on? Can they synchronize on the electronic message board? If the PA system calls comes up, have you thought about that?
That's a really hard one to tackle, because you expressed your difficulty, and I have to tell you, I have difficulty too, and I should not have a difficulty. We're dealing with an old communication system that is a backbone of communication. We're dealing with old trains which have a different piece, and then we have to work really hard to make sure that our operators think that, remember that they're speaking to the customer, and the customer wants to be in the middle, not missing information. I know the general manager is working very hard to work on the operating costs. We are working very hard on the capital part. We are in a very involved capital improvement piece to, I wish I could remember my dates and times on this one, but bringing the various stations online with the new backbone so that you can have better communication. That is, you can hear it in the train, you can hear it in the stations better. Much of it is the old backbone that the system was built on. And so I think we'll see some of that, and you will see different communication. We are away from the new trains, but I think with some of the backbone changes, some of the technology changes that will come online, you'll see a little improvement in some of the trains. I think we also see some of the improvements with the train operators. I had to compliment someone that I literally could hear every part of the announcement the entire train ride. That's unusual sometimes. It's a novel. They do have a problem with the actual technology. That's just built into an old train system and an old backbone system. But we do need to work on those things. And maybe within this year that we should see some of those stations that are actually improvements. And you'll see the technology, the videos that are going to be available into our terminals that are much more clear to communicate.
A couple of thoughts that I convey. One, we've been talking, as we tend to hear at WMATA, quite a bit about the rail system and its condition. And, you know, I also grew up using transit and have been a heavy transit user most of my life. Primarily in Pittsburgh, there wasn't a rail system where we had buses, and it wasn't always great, but it worked pretty well. And I also have enough of a technical background to realize that there are certain standards, you know, the number of people you're moving in a particular quarter at a particular time, kind of, you want to have a different mode. So there are justifications for having rail systems in certain places, and I'm not trying to debate the value of the rail system itself, but I do feel that the other side of our transit system, the bus system, tends to get forgotten. So, I mean, I think as the year, your year as chair of the seat, I would just ask, please, try and keep some light on the bus system. It has a lot of challenges as well, old equipment, outdated routes, poor communication, lots of things that are less than optimal that really impact the ability of, you know, ordinary people to get through their daily life. And also, on the standpoint of managing a region and getting people where they need to go, you know, there's a value to sort of the urban village concept in keeping people kind of on a day-to-day basis buzzing around short distances on buses rather than everybody going from, you know, one end of the area to the other just to get to work. I mean, that's a broader concept that I won't go into any more depth now. But then I think also just on the issue issue of some of these communications and funding and sort of building public support. There's transparency and there's trust. And I think they're kind of related in a way. The thing is, transparency is great and communication is great as long as people really get a sense that what you're telling them is the full story and that when they provide you feedback, you're doing something with it. And it's really being taken into account. And when people start to get an instinct that maybe they're not really being told everything, or that they're kind of being given a forum to vent, but nothing's really being done with the public information, you lose trust really quickly. And I think that's, and maybe rightly or wrongly, maybe there are perception issues. I think that's something that generally, I think is just valuable in a public context. And I know you're a politician, so you realize that. And then just, unfortunately, there are lots, and I don't want to take away his point, but just to say that, I think there's a proactive element to transparency that I think sometimes gets missed. Transparency isn't just about, we did all this and here's what we did. It's also laying out problems and saying, here's what the situation is that's developing and what's going on and what will happen. And I think that proactive aspect of it sometimes gets overlooked in public administration. So I'm just put that out there. Not really a question, I don't think, anywhere, but I just a few thoughts in response to the discussion so far.
I'm going to take this briefly and say, I think you're right on the bus, and I think the board and Mr. CEO is focused on that. We'll be getting new buses as a result of our funding in our capital program, moving that forward. But more importantly, we understand that I've always learned that bus is a compliment to you. You need buses in your community to connect the entire area. The other part of that, on your issue of trust and transparency, I think there's another side that we should always look at. When you lose trust, you have a much harder time rebuilding that trust. And so it's very important to maintain that trust as much as possible. And I will also be thinking about this one. I know our consultant is not here, and we had our meeting, and there was your meeting, and I thank you for it. On the bus, on the issue. I think we all understand what the public was saying that had their concerns, or most of us do, that way. I think we missed an opportunity to talk to the public, that is the board. I think there is a challenge in terms of the delegation of authority and what other authority is doing when it comes to safety. But whether we're right or wrong on that one particular role, we probably missed our opportunity to communicate well. And in that communication is exactly what we need. Well, let's hear what the public is going to say about this, how do they feel about it, how does it affect them. And if our decisions still have to be made, or if we have dealt with other public or customer issues that you raised as you understood the policy that you were saying. So I appreciate that, and I hope that we learned the lesson from it. But I think you have a question.
Thank you. I just wanted to say on our bus is similar to Diana's, and that is to remember those that take the bus as the GM and other former model come to you with proposals and recommendations. Many times it seems to be like the bus is thought of as an afterthought. And that's just not in communication, but it's also how we load our smartphone cards. I live in DC, I actually prefer to take the bus instead of the train when I commute to work. But one of the things I find is that, if I didn't get on the train station, I'm not sure how often I would actually want to load my car or find it inconvenient, because even though it might seem like, oh, there's only 10 people getting on the bus, there's not a problem, you're holding people up. And even, sometimes I'll see bus drivers, they don't necessarily want to go to work because someone has to come to the bus loading the car. So I can't help but think, well, if this is on the train, it would be the equivalent of having someone load their smart trip card at the gate, and that wouldn't be acceptable there. So please put more smart trip stations, throughout other places, not just CVS, for folks to load their car. I'll get off of the bus tip and also go on to the customer online comment form. A lot of times, again, from my neighbors, I'll receive complaints or suggestions about why I don't be able to go online. No, know, or, yeah, I'm going to have one tomorrow, it doesn't make any sense, so I don't have to fill out all of that. So I would say for communications as a solution, and I understand mine is just one, make the customer comment survey form more user-friendly. There are, I think, 15 questions, I think, that, you know, are asked in that customer comment form, a lot of them that I think would be more drop-down menus. And just tell the person to get to the point, maybe let them write it in, and have someone back it, we're not according to where it seems to go, or what the issue is. And it's very hard for me to make a point for someone to find, you know, 5 minutes out of their day to submit complaints or even a, you know, accommodation, if it takes forever, it's not important.
I thank you, and I'll make sure I pass that one on and go on and look at that form with my own, on the high school website. This hardship. And it was funny, we had an orientation, we had that discussion about, you know, we were asking the same question about the rolling. And I think we're trying to move to internet rolling, something of that nature, I'm not sure. Maybe it's already existed on there. But there are ways that we have more vendors because having to load my phone on the bus, and it is to make sure it's still flying through here. There's no disruptive person in the system all the time. So it takes time, but it doesn't. It accommodates our use of those smartphones.
One question about rail service reliability. I ride, I'm a 5-day Uber rider, and it seems to me that the service remains very troubled. I mean, 10 or 12 main headways at Metro Center during rush hour are just a recipe for disaster in so many ways. And it seems further that the issues are larger than just post-accident issues. There's other issues going on. So my question is, what are you and the board doing to press the general manager to address daily service reliability?
I think the board is very focused on the reliability issue. I think one of the things that I think that we're saying is that we need to be more open and we need to be clear on what those standards are. You need to know what they are. That is, how do you know and how do you maintain a sense of reliability? I think you know what a train feels like, but what is it that causes the interruptions and delays, and how much of it do you experience, and what does that mean in your trip? And I think that's one of the things that we're working on. I have to admit that the interruptions that occur on our system today really do a great deal of lack of quality to arrive. And I think the largest part of that is, one, being able to meet our capital commitment, that is providing an ongoing line improvement on the rail system, and being able to make sure that we are telling the people why they're experiencing disruptions. I think it's really disconcerting to sit on a train for 2 or 3 minutes sitting in the tunnel. A minute in the tunnel, that's a long time, and then not know why, and simply get off the train. And I think we have that problem. It is a difficult system to move ourselves to a level of high performance simply by just looking at one aspect of it. It has to be the largest system to be able to do that.
Thank you.
First, I apologize for coming in late and congratulations on your new appointments here. Just two quick observations. One, we don't really talk about generating new income, new capital. And one of the things, I'm from Prince George's County, and my county is that recently, under the article that I've been going to the Branch Avenue Station, I think there's about 38 acres of land, and I'm assuming Metro owns a lot of that land that could be developed into, you know, something, you know, to generate some income. And I think they listed several locations where there is, you know, unused land that can be used, can be leased out to corporations or whatever for development. And I really would like to see, you know, something, you know, we've been talking, I've been on the RAC for like 6 years, and we've talked about a number of different venues or businesses that can operate on those properties, and I would like to see something, you know, going forward in that regard. My other question was, we recently had a meeting that involved the escalators and elevators. And one of the things, you know, that I read in that report was the way they actually depreciated the asset. The assumption was that many of the parts, many of the equipment there could last between 40, 50 years. And now we're finding out that some of the equipment that was bought more recently is really breaking down faster than the old equipment. And I'm just wondering, you know, if there are any plans to come up with a new depreciation formula, because, you know, every day in the paper there's something, there's a story about the escalators and the elevators breaking down, and how long it's going to take to repair that. And I'm just wondering if there's any talk about trying to go in and reassess some previous, you know, calculations to either get new equipment. Some of the problems stem from actually finding equipment that can replace some of the old equipment. I just kind of want to know what's being done about that. That's becoming a very serious issue.
I have to thank the general manager for bringing in the consultants, because we've been spending lots of energy over the years in trying to do escalator repairs. And one of the things that Mr. Salt did that I think was really a much more proactive role is that he just sent that out to say, you know, we need an assessment. What is it that needs to be done? He said something to our board earlier last year, and the comment was, out of frustration, one board member said, well, you know, we just need to replace all of the escalators. Well, the reality is we can't replace all of the escalators. They are very old, and it's a very capital-intensive investment. But we should be able to keep them safe, and that's what we're going to keep them safe. And that is to be able to do the maintenance on a regular basis. And it takes more people to do that. On your personal story, I suddenly have a roof leak. I'm saying, wow, it's going to rain on Friday. That's going to be fair. But if it's going to leak for the next 12 months, I'm going to be in trouble. You have to be able to repair old things when they get old, and that's what we're not going to be able to do. I think the consultant work has helped us, but I'm afraid I have to say we're not going to see that in the short term. But we should be able to tell them when. And that's the point I'm telling you about the message. When will we see these escalators in a maintenance routine that I don't care how many times you have to go out, just go out so that they can stay running, because that's what's needed. And when are we going to have a program to replace? That's how we need to do it. And it's a difficult one, but I think it's a reality. I have to ask a question about the profession, because the appreciation is, I can't recall the depreciation, you said that the change in depreciation. I know that there were some things outlined in that report that were not, that appeared to have missed the mark.
Right.
Should have been doing that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Salt?
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Hi.
My name is
my comment is, I agree with Kelsey about the bus. Sometimes they meet like us. Now, I wanted to know, I'm going back to funding just a little bit. Are they thinking of getting rid of the circulators? Because I heard a few things about them getting rid of the circulators. I mean, the circulators are a big plus for this area. And I feel that it's not broken. So don't try to fix it. Yeah. So basically, you know, I heard some rumors about that, and they're neglecting us a little bit on the buses, because I had told this name, Dr. Song, they're not telling us when the buses have been rebooted. So that's one of the main things that they don't really talk about much. And of course, everybody's in an uproar. They get off at 5:30, and you know, you're sitting there for half an hour and you don't know what's going to happen. Do I get off the bus and go another way, or, you know, or do I continue to wait?
I know that there are some discussions about circulating, but I don't know if circulating will be able to continue, and that could be one of multiple problems there. But that's a circulator is a joint piece of PC and metro. But I think a larger, I think, commitment about buses is the fact that we are creating more bus priority quarters, so that we realize that by adding more bus service, we help all of our system. And there are different types of bus services that we want, but I think the buses are still a critical part of that. I think the doors.
Perhaps there's one more thing. What about, I just want to know about if there's construction and you move the bus stop, but you don't put it back, what can we do about that?
Most of the bus stops are jurisdictional. I see you have, are you ready for
Columbia?
Okay, DC, so most of those, yes.
Oh, okay.
DC, a bit metro, but there could be a DC, and so there's a construction issue that we really should go. You can get to metro, and just we will find out. We should find out. But by working on, you put the stop in.
No, the construction.
Thank you. The other side of the members of the four are lost, long-serving members. Would you care to comment about that turnover, the regionality, the regional focus of what was lost, and whether it's been replaced by who's come on board?
As I indicated, four new members are on the board, one from Virginia, and two from the District of Columbia, and one from Maryland. But then there are two, Mr. Benjamin indicated that he will be leading the board when his replacement comes on from Maryland, and Ms. Hewlett indicates that she will be leading the board at some time. So that's two additional Maryland. And there is a vacancy still for Prince George's. So we will have a whole new board, with the exception of one DC member and three Virginia members. And that's a lot of people. That's new. We have had very good orientation. This is the second day. Today we were here for half day. We were here earlier last month for 4 days. We have another. And I think it's been very helpful to get people quickly oriented about the system, and all the people that have come on with varying experience with transit knowledge.
Thank you very much, Chair, President, and I'm really glad that, you know, to see that you're now Chair and really looking forward to this year, or even, you know, if you talk to the governance report, possibly more than 1 year of your leadership. I also appreciate the board creating the governance committee and really getting into the issues of governance, which we spent a number of months in the RAC, you know, trying to wrestle with and come up with recommendations. Building a little bit off what Chris was saying, you know, you spoke a few times about this issue about sort of the line between the board and the CEO, and I know that that's a major governance question and has even come up in several different policy issues already this year. You know, the board has seems to be embracing, you know, the suggestion of really delegating more to the CEO, and I think that's really great. My hope is obviously that this is a very fine line to find, and that it won't, while moving in that direction, it also doesn't go too far in that direction. You know, in our governance committee, we felt that while a lot of the specific implementations decisions should be made by the staff, that, you know, it is very important for the policy to remain with the board of policy decisions. And given that there's so much turnover on the board now, so there are so many new members, I know some members are sort of old friends of the CEO, you know, that I guess it's my hope that the board will continue to delegate these specifics, but also very strongly retain its right to decide the bigger policy questions. to really look at whether a disruption in service or an inconvenience drive or something like that is necessary versus just something that perhaps the staff feel like would make their lives easier or something like that, and that some people might be able to go along with. So, that's just been our thought and very much supportive of working together over here.
Well, I want to thank you, and I'll make this my concluding comments, because I think it will be something to navigate in the beginning, but as a part of drafting some of the board responsibilities, one statement I made is that I think we have a responsibility to support and be respectful of the general manager and his seat of power. But that there becomes a mutual sense of respect and responsibility. And to me, accountability does not give way to, to be accountable does not mean that we cannot share that fine line of authority that the CEO will have. So I think we'll work at it, but I'm excited by the members. It's difficult getting used to not having folks that you've worked with for a long time, but they are very involved and engaged, and that's what I think people want to happen. They have a commitment. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. I hope that I can come back again. And I look forward to your role in ongoing responsibility.
Thank you. If you can see, there are a group that likes to talk. A lot of ideas, a lot of questions, and we appreciate, as folks have said, your candor, your honesty, your appropriateness, and as well as all the experience you bring, and we look forward to working with you. And feel free to call on us whenever you need.
I shall.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to the approval of past meeting minutes. We received a copy in your email. Are there any corrections or amendments? Victoria?
I just have a question. Are we going to continue with this format for the minutes, or I thought it was going to be short minutes?
They can be shorter if there's a general sense. They can certainly be shorter.
Okay, I thought we were doing even shorter ones.
And this is the part where I bring the RAC back on schedule by saying, really, I don't have a lot to update you all on right now. That's good and bad. The only thing I know is that I think staff and beginning to speak with the board are hoping to do some kind of either public meetings or hearings, depending on what's required, at some point in April. But as Mrs. Hudgens said, I think more than once during her presentation, there's a lot more discussing that needs to happen. And so there's not a lot of information out there yet. So I guess, and since Carl isn't here yet, I guess my all I can say right now is stay tuned. The board's finance committee meeting, or finance committee, is going to meet next week, and I hope to give you all an update after that. The RAC's budget committee will be meeting on the 14th of the month, and hopefully there'll be some more information out to discuss then. But right now, I think both the board and staff are trying to sort of frame the issues that they need to tackle.
Is that March 14th?
Yes, Monday, March 14th.
Any questions or comments, Deborah?
Do you think that the council member would have the company manager or just on the committee member? That's my question.
Is it RAC?
Yes.
Members only for that meeting?
It's a RAC meeting. It's optional. It's a committee meeting.
Okay.
Is this Carl coming later? Because I had a comment about it, which maybe if he's coming later, we should come back to this topic instead, or...
I got a message from him that said he works for the Senate, as you all may know, and apparently everything that's going on with the continuing resolution, he put relatively low odds of his being able to make the meeting, but possibly. So.
All right. I was going to say that maybe this is going to talk about the budget, but I hope that maybe you can get after a little bit of some of the decisions that are going to be made, because I'm a little bit concerned that, that things are going to go up for a number of months and sort of general in principle integration type discussion, and then all of a sudden, some decisions might be made, and without, for example, we just had that board meeting where there was mostly a discussion about one option of cutting the internet service, and, are other options even really being pondered? Are there options we need to get into the mix before they're actually trying to decide among options? And so, that's what we're participating in the budget committee, but I hope that maybe we don't necessarily wait until the board puts some issues forth, or the staff puts some issues forth, but maybe our committee can put issues forth as well that we think need to be considered in the budget.
Any other comments or questions on the budget? Ken?
This is only, unfortunately, tangentially related, but currently it's the capital budget. I'm wondering about the threat of losing $150 million on the federal level. And I think even though we understand the congressional delegation is supportive of restoring that money and fighting for it, and even our governors, from what we understand, are supportive of it as well, I think sometimes they need the support of their constituencies. And perhaps the writers' groups as well, to let them know how important it was. And therefore, I was going to making a motion that we send a letter to the congressional delegation copying the Water Board, copying the governors, emphasizing the importance of recommitting that $150 million for Metro, of course, capital budget for safety reasons and operational reasons as well.
Second.
Chris? 1 second.
Could I add a friendly amendment to that?
Please.
AAC would be very happy to be co-signing with that. So if you want to make that between Mac and AAC, that would be great.
Sure.
I think we should let this out relative to the $150 million. I told you that a few times, so what's the news?
We have in the past, and folks that work on the Hill can probably speak to this more than I could, but the House's budget proposal actually takes that money away. So,
excuse me, the proposal for this next week's budget, that's part of the...
Tom and Chris?
Can I just have a point of clarification? Is this for the current fiscal year?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's likely, I'm following the budget process myself, some of the programs I manage will be affected, that the decisions are going to be made in the future, and they'll be made like in a closed door room, because the intent of the House is to pursue a series of short-term continuing resolutions, each of which will have individual sets of cuts. We probably had a better opportunity to weigh in for this year's budget, which will be hopefully in a more traditional manner with the appropriations, the marketing things up, and, you know, like the house instead of passing the judges and conference meetings and their installation, and then finally pass. In this case, I don't know how much opportunity there is for people to weigh in, because literally, as each continuing resolution expires and the next one needs to be passed, there will be cuts and reduced, you know, each time the government keeps going, so there might be limited opportunity on my piece, sending letters. Noting that.
I'm open to advice on this.
We have Chris, Deborah, Carol, and Diane.
Yeah, I just wanted to suggest, I don't know if this would be a friendly amendment, but suggest could the recipients be broadened beyond just the congressional delegation, which I take to be local, but also to include the appropriate appropriations people so that they get the messages on.
Deborah?
A few months ago, I thought someone always meant to think that they made to the our
So I got everybody in favor with no abstentions or no opposition.
Okay, Okay, we now move on to the question for your comments on the RAC chair and the AAC chair reports. Before we move into questions and comments, I want to go through the two sub-items on that. One was already listed in my report, the public safety working group. We'd like to institute a public safety working group based on John's meeting with Deputy Pavlik, and to establish a public forum with our eyes to discuss public safety concerns. I should let you know a little bit of background information. One of our new members, Joseph Kitchen, who from Prince George's County, who wasn't able to be with us here tonight because of work obligations and travel, had already expressed an interest in being involved in issues with the other public safety. So, and Victoria has also volunteered to be involved. So I would like us to establish a working group to work towards organizing this public forum and have Victoria and possibly Joseph, if you'd like to be the
I move we create a public safety working group to be co-convened by Justin McClure.
Can you speak for Justin, who's not here?
We can do it, he can be fine. And then you would be with me.
That's called a question for that section.
That's why you have to come to me. Is there a second for that? Carol?
Yeah, I have a clerk. I still don't understand the second paragraph that the statute committee on public safety and then the next president organized more rules. Are you saying that we would order the purpose of the committee? Would the committee on public safety be broader than to organize the public forum?
I think that what would happen and really what would happen is that the first business would be to organize the public forum, and then based on that, they may go on to do more committee work.
Okay, then my second question is, are you saying the RAC would organize a public forum a la the public forum we organized on the bag inspection?
It would be that type of meeting, but not maybe in a different format or with different opportunities at meeting.
And there may be, I mean, there may also be a different level of, and I guess let me be clear, that was something that came up, the idea of a forum was something that came up in discussion between Deputy Pavlik and I, but this was not to bind the RAC to doing that.
Oh, okay. I thought the committee was the public.
It was, and I think there, I guess just maybe to also clarify, or to differentiate between what was held on January 3rd here about bag searches, is there, I would expect that if MTPD has come to the RAC and has sort of, you know, asked a partner, that there may be a higher level of participation just logistically from them.
Okay, and maybe this is a question, let me just throw out my concern, but nobody, we don't have a question. My concern is that maybe I'm reading the tea leaves of what this president said, but I thought I detected a kind of an apology for, in effect, the RAC did the network which job. We had that bad inspection, in my opinion. And I would not, you know, I would say that that would be one of the issues I would have for the question would be not that we get into a situation where we step in front of the net and give them cover, so to speak.
My understanding was that to be forming the committee would be the public forum people to provide it, but I didn't know you meant like as in the committee organizing
right.
when you said a public forum, I thought you meant by forming the committee, we would have no way for the public to comment on this particular issue. I didn't realize you meant the goal of the committee is to organize a big public meeting.
Right, that would be the first. That's what had been proposed.
That was an option that was discussed. I want to be very clear that was an option that was discussed between Deputy Chief Pavlik and I. It's something the committee can decide to do or not do. It seemed like a good way to help identify issues for the committee to then work through. You have a meeting that's a little bit maybe more publicized than a regular RAC committee meeting. Let's be honest, we don't get a lot of public participation, especially at committee meetings. You do something a little bit beyond that, you develop, and again, this is all just discussion, you develop, say, a list of three or four issues that the public and the RAC agree, these are the three or four things that we need to address, and then subsequently through, for the next 3 or 4 months, you address item A, then item B, then item C, then item D with appropriate staff support. That was just sort of a thought process, but before it went any further, I wanted to bring it all to you to sort of self-determine.
Right. I think we need to form a committee and then let the committee decide how to go.
All of our committee meetings are open to the public to attend. All committee meetings have public comments. So while you can sort of pitch a meeting and be more like trying to design it around a couple of RAC members talk to staff or around more about getting public input, it's not just like one or the other. When we had the bachelor's meeting, it was really sort of a committee meeting that had really long public comment. And we told the press about a lot more people getting public comment. It's not necessarily like it's totally different animal so much as John was saying, either you can kind of make a big deal out of your committee meeting and invite a lot of people to show up or not, depending on what you want.
Is there any more discussion? Should we establish a committee and then let the committee decide how to proceed?
Okay. I am happy.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Right. I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward to working with the AAC too on the public issue.
Sure. We appreciate their involvement. Next item, sub item on that is the joint forum with mentor leadership. I'm going to let David explain that.
Thank you. The Sierra Club, State Board of Metro DC campaign, which is a joint effort of the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, I believe, Sierra Clubs, and the Coalition for Smarter Growth, which is a regional nonprofit around transit and smart growth, both approached some of us on draft with the suggestion of having a sort of town hall meeting with Richard Starks. I guess the RAC had done some of them in past years when Cato was relatively new, that sort of thing, that, given that a lot of riders out there might want to have a chance to talk to him, maybe we want to do that before the budget session and they're not going, so people could just bring up all the other kinds of things, like the things that people brought up today with the budget, or the things people brought up last month with Mr. Charles about, bad communication, or the kind of signs not working, or, buses not being on that. So it sounded like a good idea on, if people were amenable, I thought it would be nice for VBOT or RAC to be a co-sponsor of that, to, have a meeting in one of these rooms here, send out something about it and so forth. And obviously first try to make that show up for them. So I think it'd be nice for us to be involved in that.
My comment is that since we don't really have that many people coming here, why not have it in certain districts? Like in Northwest, where I was first appointed, we had it in that section, then they had it in like Ward 8, and different. I think that's when you have the most people, because most people will not come in. It's sort of awkward to get here. I have a time getting here myself, you know, especially in the winter, you know, and bad weather. So, I think if you could have it in the neighborhoods, we would have a better response from the public. Because John and I have gone to several, and, you know, that's when you sort the people out. Yeah, excuse me.
Did you clarify the different groups again, just so we know exactly?
It was the Sierra Club and the Coalition for Smart Oak Grove.
Just for the clarification, I think this might address what was just brought up in terms of locations. This is not for the budget hearing process, which should be in multiple locations available to folks in multiple locations to come to. This is only one event in one place, and so it wouldn't have multiple locations. And just because we can get a space here that's large enough for one meeting, I think was a lot of the group might have been asking about having it here. But definitely for the budget process, which is usually multiple hearings and should be in multiple jurisdictions.
Actually, mine is more clarification than anything else. That is, I'm a member of the Sierra Club, and I get regular emails from them, and I know they're very interested in mass transit, have a lot of meetings of their own. I just trying to figure out what the idea was here. Was the idea that you get the general manager here before multiple interest groups? I know, for instance, I know the Sierra Club has met with some of them in the past officials before. So I'm just trying to figure out what are we adding here? Is it that there would be a lot of groups that would talk to the new manager?
It wouldn't necessarily for the Sierra Club to meet with him or us or someone else, but just to organize something that all the groups could reach out to lots of interested members of the public who might want to go.
So the idea would be to get a lot of bigger participation.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to
get. Yes, exactly.
I know that these interest groups already meet with officials in Metro. So this would be that this generates more interest and more public participation.
Exactly. That they could reach out to people through their email list and the other groups through there, and they can contact reporters and so forth to get in, back to gridlock or whatever, so people go and get that.
I think it's a great idea. I would just ask that maybe we have the opportunity to comment on the agenda and there be an agenda, because otherwise the meeting can turn into a wide session about, say, bag checks. Not that I support bag checks, I oppose them, but I think. Sorry, I just heard that loud and clear. And there needs to be an agenda to kind of focus the discussion, because otherwise it's no good presenting going on while we're not even doing the Q&A. That's my only comment.
No, nothing has been decided about the specific format yet. I think it's a good idea to send around a proposed format to the whole group for people to comment on before it's decided. There was a little bit of discussion between me and some of those two representatives when they were suggesting it, and I suggested something similar to what you said, which is maybe that we find a way to structure it. One idea was people submit questions, and then some groups of people sort of look at them on index card or something, and call up people so that different topics are raised instead of everyone all asking about one particular topic or something of that nature. But that hasn't been decided to do it, so that way I've just sort of some ideas.
I do agree with Pat, because in the past we had a jurisdictional forum. I know when we were changing the 30-mile route, we had meetings in Northwest, they had church was it off Wisconsin Avenue, John?
Mm-hmm. St. Collins.
And it was very well, you know, attended by residents in that area. And then we had one in Southeast, so the church in Southeast, off Pennsylvania Avenue. So I really do think that you can have more than one forum, because, you know, the past said this, it gets very crowded in here. And I think you, and even in Virginia, we've had, you know, forums where, and, you know, the people on the committee, like myself, who was chair of the bus at the time, I had to go to all of them. So I think it would be a good idea to have a more than one location.
David, what we're doing is saying, what we're trying to decide tonight is if we want to be part of this partnership that's going to have a forum with the general manager. And I think, you know, it's possible that we can decide that and then say, in the planning process, we want an agenda, we want a location other than Metro headquarters. Would it be a sponsor? We have some input into the plan.
I mean, let me back to that question. I think you all make a very good point. I don't know if I or the folks in the other groups necessarily want to take on the task of organizing six different, you know, meetings. I mean, the Metro's job is 30, the Metro's peak service change. It's their job to have meetings that are accessible to riders in the different areas that they're going to change service. And as Penny said, when they're going to do the budget, we should ask them, and I would think we would expect them to have a number of forums in Fairfax County, Montgomery County, Fairfax County, Arlington, whatever, that they need to, and different parts of D.C., that they need to reach out to all the riders. If we only can really have the capacity for one, do we want to have it somewhere other than here? Like, should we have it somewhere else in D.C.? Should we have it in a different state? And if so, is there anyone that has a suggestion for a good location that we could get? I think, as Penny said, one of the things was, I think they sort of asked if it could be done at, like, one of the universities or something, and it didn't seem immediately possible. So we called out to one, we have it at Metro headquarters, because we're at, can you get a room at Metro headquarters? If someone has a connection to a location, you know, to a good venue that's maybe more accessible to some other riders, then that might be a great idea. You know, maybe if it was somewhere that was still kind of central to a lot, we could get there by Metro and a certain Metro rail, by a lot of buses, something like that.
Deborah, Diana, is there for
If you don't have a community in a different business location, you may want to also add a concern for people with handlers who want to go to the meeting and who's going to pay for it. So you're going to meet in a different location. That's something you need to think about.
If we have a meeting, we have to consider interpretive services for
I guess it comes out of the RACS budget, which you don't have, but.
I would just say that with an understanding of the cost issues involved and having multiple meetings, et cetera, I would just echo that I think if we are going to do this partnership, we should, you know, kind of do it with, like, look, we're the RAC. We've done a lot of this kind of stuff and participated in it before, and our input is that if you really want to get a lot of people coming out, the mountain kind of has to go to Muhammad and more. And that's part of our input. Now, I'm assuming if the general manager is involved, that Vermont is one of the partners. So, you know, I guess in some way we're making more work for them, you know, and there's potentially costs associated with venues, et cetera. But I would just second that. I think that, you know, myself, that, you know, doing one thing here probably isn't enough. Really to do it right, let's think about at least one meeting in each one of the three major jurisdictions, minimum, more, with respect to the general manager schedule as well, and just, you know, kind of maybe try and use this as a way to really send a message that Vermont is going to go to some extra effort to really kind of get input. That's what I was saying. And I do appreciate the cost
Gloria and Lorraine.
I have pretty much the same comments that maybe we don't even have six meetings, but at least have 30 spread out, so let people know that to the CEO. What's the other comments?
Lorraine?
Well, one suggestion that I have is that if we're going partners with this other organization, then the Sierra Club should organize the second meeting, and the coalition organize the third meeting. And that way, everything is split even, as opposed to us absorbing everything.
So, I think this is very good.
And that addresses all the different constituencies that we want to address.
I think that it's good feedback. I think I will bring it to those folks. I think that, you know, it was sort of one person at Sierra Club that kind of came up with the idea, and the coalition kind of said, well, we'll join in. So, and then they asked us if we wanted to join in. So I can say to them, I think a lot of people have the sessions of trying to do three. They might say, we don't have the capacity to do three. And if they say that, then we probably can't. And we give them that as feedback. You know, we can say our feedback is maybe we want to consider doing three. But they might say, we can't do it. You know, and so then I guess, you know, I think we should still, you know, participate if they do one. If they don't want to take our feedback, we can't say make that happen, right? And for one thing, they were looking for places and didn't have places. So, you know, if I think we can't say that, you know, we want to do Maryland, okay, like what we're, you know what I mean? So we need to, you know, maybe we can help them. And maybe we can give them that feedback and I'll try. I just want to kind of set up with that expectation that, you know, this isn't, you know, something being done by Metro, which at least has a whole lot of staff. You know, these are like little organizations that have very few people.
That's
so.
Smart people, though. They can figure out
what
they're
doing. Well, there are people who have a lot of responsibility, and one person at one organization said, why don't we do this, not planning on, you know, certainly not having any budget to pay for, not planning on spending a day of their staff time for each three jurisdictions trying to call a whole bunch of different churches. So, you know, they very well might say that's a good idea, but that's not something that we're able to do because they just have to take it anymore. So that's all I'm saying. We have to understand that there are constraints and they can't just do anything that we ask necessarily. But I will pass on the information. I think it's a good suggestion. I'm just saying I want to be realistic.
And at the same time, though, put all this responsibility on us either.
Well, they're not. They didn't ask us to do this. We're asking for their
even feet.
If we
only plan more,
we
say,
yeah.
Right.
It's not.
I just want to, I'm going to recognize Deborah in a second, but I want to put myself in the queue here. Is just wanted to say that I think this is a great idea. I think that as the RAC, we always stress that we want right in. I think this is a wonderful way to get right in input. And I think that what we should do is, I think we should go into it in the spirit of collaboration and put forth what we want, that we would like to have three meetings. If we don't get the three meetings, maybe we have to set up the other two ourselves. Later on, see this as a first step towards getting more wider input and more interaction of Metro management with providers. Deborah?
Another thing, we need to put signs of another think tank organization who has the same kind of that we are working on. And we see if they were trying to work financially. You see, any other think tank organization you might want to think about.
Yes. All right, we actually did out of order. We haven't had a motion and we haven't had a second. So David, I want to move it.
I know what the motion is. I move we join in with these groups and try and organize three if possible, or at least participate in what, I don't know how to write it. And we participate in one to three forums with Mr. Charles.
Second. Harold is part of the second. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Kenneth, was that a late in favor or was that an opposed? Okay. Your hand is still up.
Now, are there any questions or comments about the RAC or AAC chair reports? We're in that unusual position, Patrick, where the AAC hasn't met yet, but so the only thing I would say is everything that you guys have already heard, that AAC does now have the reporting requirements for, and also actually still will be reporting to CEO. But Frank, I think that just means that you and I can collaborate a little bit more on some of the message we give the board. Seeing no more questions or comments, let's move on to our discussion of interests. But what I'd like to do is maybe briefly go around the room and what the process is going to be, that you've mentioned one or two interests you have. We'll make a list. We'll take them back. The executive committee, and at the next month's meeting, we'll present some committee options so that we can work on major interests that folks have presented. So this is really just brainstorming, just getting ideas out. We'll take back the ideas and then present it in the format that the national team. So, Ken, interests?
I'd like to make sure that when budget and issues like specifically metro access, that they're coordinated between both your state and our state. So we have some ideas. We want to make sure that gets synchronized with what you guys are thinking and presenting.
Let me apologize to our guests. I don't really need to rush this. This is an important exercise, and so do it forcefully.
I would say, right now, my interest in the outreach technology issues, the new smart card that we put out, the IDs, and the website, how to use the transformation.
One thing I'm interested in is this kind of things that have minimal budget impact. We all know budget's such a huge issue here. And one thing would be anticipatory planning. We talked about at one point about that one of the big events this last fall, there seemed to be a lack of planning. They weren't kind of ready to have all those lines of people without cars and so forth. One thing I'm always concerned about is overcrowding the stations. It seems like we could make recommendations like close the stations when they get overcrowded, things like that. So I would call it low budget impact planning to make things a little more efficient and safe.
Budget and public safety.
Crime. Reliability and cell phone coverage and access.
Could I just ask, reliability, is there a particular mode? Rail, bus, access,
rush hour road. Subway.
Okay.
Example of the inauguration, how the RAC arrived at the website.
And then additionally,
public safety and next bus? Repairs in general, because not only we're talking trains, buses, escalators, elevators.
I'm sorry, what was the first? Maintenance? Okay, thank you.
That encompasses all of it.
Go on.
I'm putting a test on the community and get tested to get to the key with the hand up. That's only then you can handle it.
Thank you. Diana?
I think that the other thing that I would say is all transit dependents, that idea of the system is more than just like for people who need to work, who need to kind of drive a car. And then equity and civil liberties come forward, not whether that's bags versus for, how we communicate. Not everybody has a PDA. Not everybody, if they have a PDA, can fit. So it's supposed to be for me, I'd say bus service, mainly like upgrading the routes, making sure that the routes that people use the service today are part of the bus to use it. And also communication and probably public safety or rental safety that came to have always be in the news or the hot stuff with crime issues that we have to do about.
We have service issues.
You're two problems, Sharon.
Weekend parking, I'd like to see an increase of plan to allow people to park in Metro Lots over the weekend. And real similar for this improved equipment audit. I think they need to do a better job of auditing their equipment.
Okay, mine are making sure that seniors have seating in the front, and that the drivers, if you want to add to your smart trip, if the machine is not working and you put your money in, that they prepare the form. This happened to me on my way here today, and the driver refused. Mm-hmm. And several people became a little upset because they lost their money.
Passes, how Metro treats the most committed customers?
Squeezing stuff.
I like passes, but one that I was going to say were sort of the technological systems for customer service, whether that's at bus or complaint reporting or information, online information or sign. And the other one was about priority corridors.
And mine goes along with what someone just said, bus routes, particularly dealing with suburb commuters and suburban living. But bus routes dealing with suburbs. Okay, we'll take that.
I remember my.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Making data, making your transit data, scheduling information available to application processors.
To what?
The application processors. And then here for 3 years, and now start back.
Okay, we'll take this back, and we'll try to come up with some coherent committees from this that will cover as many of these topics, or at least one of the ones, and we'll bring it to the next meeting. We're 25 after. I think we can get done with this meeting by 22, if everybody agrees to stay a little longer tonight. And I think we'll be able to get done with everything. Any votes are? First one, Karen.
New superintendent of elevators for Rico Batar. They, of course, is director of elevators in Escalade 2 here as well. And basically, the summit that we were talking about, some of the issues are facing now, the great constant breakdown of escalators, and it's been in the paper almost every day. My concern is, as I mentioned earlier, is basically the time it takes to repair the escalators, and the equipment that they currently have. Well, the equipment that's on the escalators is very difficult to replace those items. And that's a major concern, because their projections were that most of their equipment will last 40, 50 years, and that's not what's possible. So most of the escalators are not covered. I know they're beginning to cover them. I know there's one in Eastern Market, and they're currently working at Flossy Bottom. But that whole project is going to take almost a year. So, if that's the pace that they're going at, it's going to be a very different project. There's some discrepancies in terms of the numbers. You can see on the page, they report on their page that they have 237 elevators, but in the document that I referenced, there should be approximately 275. So I don't know where they got their numbers from. But basically, the elevators and escalators are aging very rapidly. We're at a point now where it seems as though they're breaking down more frequently than before. So the question is basically where do we go from here? I mean, the committee is trying to focus on how do you communicate these situations to the riders. They can have better signage. At one point, I know Penny had discussed some feedback that she got from a friend who said that at Flossy Bottom, when the escalators were broken, they had personnel standing at the top and the bottom to kind of guide them. And it was kind of easy to do at Flossy Bottom because there's only one instance. But we have big spaces there, multiple instances, off on Plaza, Metro Center, et cetera, where there's almost impossibility to have additional people to stand there and kind of guide you. But that is a significant problem. I think going forward, we're going to try to tackle some of those issues. Mrs. Bacar mentioned that I think it's Judiciary Square, for example, is kind of governed by the government. So whenever you want to make any improvements, you have to go through the federal issue, the government to decide on how to, if you're going to cover it, they have to go over your blueprint assessor. So, going forward, I would like some input on how to go forward with this particular committee in terms of trying to address these issues, because a lot of the issues deal with the way that whole structure is set up. They have this PIC system, and the PIC system allows senior staff members or mechanics to decide which project they want to work on. Okay, and I don't know if they're picking it. My impression is that they're not picking the most difficult jobs to work on, basically. And I don't know if that's a unionized situation or not, but it doesn't work very well. Because from my perspective,
if you're a senior, you need to basically supervise, you know, individuals who are newer on the job. They have significant problems with maintaining supervisors because, you know, supervisors are basically salaried employees and they probably don't know what to run. So a lot of them want to become regular parents. They don't want to supervise. So there are a lot of issues surrounding the mechanics who work on the elevator and escalators. And, you know, like I said, we were trying to focus on the communication side, but it's hard to when there's so many internal factors that are affecting the repair of the elevators and escalators. So if anyone has suggestions, I certainly would appreciate hearing.
And in the interest of time, can we suggest, can I suggest that people email Sharon with any suggestions? And Sharon, is there another meeting scheduled?
Not yet, but we probably want to have one.
Okay, and you'll let us know.
A little bit, yeah.
Great. Bus committee?
Thank you. It's going to be tricky to move a letter. At this point in the meeting, the bus committee met on February 7th, and we talked about changes in fare media that particularly have significant impact on bus drivers. Communications related to that. And through that meeting with the director of fare media and sales, the director of marketing, and the manager of corporate sales, came a bit of a case study. There was a lot of good advice that came from the bus committee. Regarding communicating better with riders, regarding communicating better with social service agencies, and regarding, as I mentioned earlier, communicating, making loading smart trip cars, including the bus passes, easier for bus drivers by increasing the locations that is available. So based on that, this letter covers those points, and I move that the RAC this letter to send to staff and copy the menu board.
Any questions? Referred?
Should we CC the who's the director of communications
Barbara Richardson?
I think you should be.
Any other questions?
I have just a quick comment. I did read this, I was at the meeting, and it's really become, I don't know how many people have been affected by this. I know I have, you know, every weekend I have a problem getting my bus pass loaded on my car, and the training at some of these sites is substandard. You know, I went in last week and I told them I wanted a bus pass, so they put $15 on my metro card. And I didn't find out before I actually got on the bus because then you can see, you know, the difference in, you know, the amount. But it's really a problem. And if they need, I don't know who's training them, I don't know if the retail stores are training their employees or. My recommendation is that they have some kind of centralized training for those who are issuing, who are loading these cars, because it's not working.
I don't see any other hands raised, so I'm going to assume that there's no more questions. All in favor of approving this letter? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passed unanimously.
Our next meeting is on the 21st. We'll let you know about the date. I mean, March 21st. We'll let
you know. We don't have a budget committee report.
Next meeting is the 14th.
Long-term projects.
John is working to schedule a discussion about the.
Open payment.
Open payment system, and also open payment system, which will be the way people will be able to potentially pay fares with a credit card and a chip in it or something like that. There was some interest in that. Also, we're looking at having a meeting in the near future about the 7000 series rail car design. We got a letter, I got a letter from a constituent who is short, who wanted specifically for us to make sure that the grab bars in the areas near the doors, I guess they aren't going to be vertical poles, and she wanted to make sure that it was possible for short people to have something to grab onto. So we're probably going to have the staff come back. We're designing cars to talk about generally all the different things, and we can also discuss accessibility. So maybe we can coordinate with the AAC a little bit so that, you know, more have that meeting, but that we can make sure that we also talk to them about accessibility issues for people with all kinds of different reasons that they need things in the cars. But in neither of those schedules, we need to get that nailed down on the maintenance when they can start to say they're not ready to do that for a year. And I'm sorry for governance. On governance, very quickly, I presented something about our governance proposal to both the COG board of directors and the transportation planning board. During the CPB meeting, the representative from Montgomery County pointed out that there is a Maryland state legislature bill, this is your item 9E here, that's been introduced to change the rules for appointing Maryland members. This isn't for every jurisdiction, this is just for Maryland, that they, this would change the law about how they appoint the Maryland board members. If you go to page 3, that's the key part. There are these 6 criteria, and I think that about half of them are compatible with our governance recommendations, and about the other half are in opposition to our governance recommendations. So what I would suggest that we do is send a letter to the state legislature asking them, explaining which of these conform to our governance recommendations and which do not. The ones are, number 1 says that the governor's appointees must be the main members. We have suggested that there be some elected official representatives, so I think that we think that legislating that it must be the governor's representatives is not really in conformity with our own governance recommendations.
Can you go by the line number?
Sure. Mm-hmm. If you go to page 3, number 1, it says the governor's appointees shall serve as the commission's appointees to the board of directors. Right now, that's the practice, that the governor's appointments are the voting members from Montgomery and Prince George's County. That is right now Mr. Barnes, who's going to be the new one, Investigator Benjamin, and whoever it is Betty Hewlett. But that this would basically make that to be our requirement in the law, that it be those people and not the county's representatives. Number 2 says that that the people on the board cannot be any people that have elected offices. In our recommendations, we said we thought that it was good for there to be elected officials potentially serving on the board. So number 2 is something that goes in the opposite direction from what we said in our governance recommendation. Number 3 says they can't have been employed by WMATA for a year before. We didn't really touch on that at all in our recommendations, so we should probably say anything about that. Personally, it seems fine to say this. Number 4 basically says that Maryland representatives of the board need to have certain types of experience. Also, I think that that goes against our governance recommendations, because we said that we thought it was good to think of people as being like elected representatives or representatives of the riders in that area, not necessarily people with any particular professional expertise. So that this, I think, also is in opposition to our recommendations. Number 6 says that they should be regular passengers of bus or rail. That does conform with our recommendation. I think we should endorse that. I would personally suggest that they add more metro access so they can have regular passengers of any of the 3 services. Number 6 says that they need to submit reports about their attendance at the board meetings. That also fits with our governance recommendations. We were very concerned about poor attendance. So I think we should say that we also like number 6. So basically it would be not like being 1, 2, and four, and liking numbers five and six, and not having any proposition on number three. So I would suggest that we send a letter simply detailing what our recommendations from our arbiters report are that fit with each of these things. And I have comments.
So moved.
All right, you moved it?
Say I moved it, yes.
Okay, great, Sharon.
In light of the fact that the governor's appointing two members, is saying one member should not hold the elected office, and I agree with that.
No, it says all of the members.
No, the governor shall appoint two members with the advice of the city of Maryland.
Yeah.
One member should be a resident of Montgomery County, and the other one is Prince George's County. And you're saying that you would like for both of them to be elected officials?
Not necessarily, but I think that...
Because the problem I see is if they're both elected officials, they probably don't use the bus or rail. So I'm in agreement with number two the way it's written. I would prefer that both not be elected.
Point of order. I think this is too complicated for us to have a first read. I see, I don't know about the Maryland legislature, but this was introduced February 2nd, so how long do we have realistically to comment on this in the record?
The hearing is a week from Friday.
A week from Friday?
The 11th.
March 11th is the year.
Next Friday.
Yes.
Could we do this by email? Because I'm feeling that I really don't have time. Joan?
What we could do by email, what we could do is vote in principle to direct the letter, and then the direct and the letter could be by email.
I don't
know.
Like
I will withdraw my motion and change my motion to be that we send a letter explaining how these fit with our governance recommendations with specifics to be decided over email.
Sorry, who will
we
send a letter to?
To the state legislature. To relevant.
Maryland Senate.
Does this commission already exist? Are they forming a commission?
It already exists. This is the sort of vehicle by which Maryland's board members are technically appointed. The only parts that are changed in this law are the parts that are involved here. And so everything that's not involved is already in the law.
David just moved, but we need a second.
Second.
Okay, Carol. Okay, all in favor?
Anybody opposed?
All opposed?
All right. Is Darm anyone want to post?
Any abstentions? Okay. Finally, thank you all for the motion passes. Finally, the last item on the agenda, briefly. You may recall at the January 3rd meeting and our January rank meeting, we had folks videoing the proceedings. We did that under the belief that the RAC was a public meeting, and so that we would allow the public as well as the news media to video it. We checked with the Office of General Counsel, who said that we should probably develop a policy about this, whether we want audio and video recordings of the council meetings done. So, we don't have time to discuss now, obviously, but you might want to consider that, because we will put it at the top of the agenda for next month.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Just a quick question on this, don't we already take our meetings?
Right, but to allow members of the public to take them and then possibly be able to use them in the form.
Right, so we want to split that between what we do internally here and what is done externally.
Okay.
Can I just ask, if we have people making video recordings next month, can you tell us ahead of time?
Well, We didn't know who got here this morning.
No, last time they...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Someone asked ahead of time.
I knew you meant this guy.
Right, okay.
Yeah, someone said something ahead of time.
Can we still...
Yeah, yeah, well, we discussed that as part of the policy. Okay, I call the meeting.